الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we ask Allah to exalt and mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Continuing with the book of Sharh Thalath al-Usul, we were dealing in our last session last week with the ayah وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And we gave a definition for ibadah. Can anyone give us the definition again? Ibadah. Anyone?
Doing all the wrong things that are following the right people.
That's Hanifiyya. Close. Hanifiyya, Hanifan, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, is avoiding the false religion, sticking on the right one. Ibadah is an ismun jami'un li kulli ma yuhibbuhu Allah wa yarda min al-aqwali wal-af'al al-zahira wal-batina. This is a ta'rif of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. It's an encompassing word that includes everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, whether it is actions or statements, whether they are done outwardly or inwardly. That's what it is. Ibadah, in its ultimate sense. However, the Shaykh rahimahullah says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْعِبَادَةَ نَوْعَانِ. Know that ibadah is of two kinds. Ibadatun kawniyya, wa hiya al-khudu' li amri Allah ta'ala al-kawni, wa hadhihi shamilatun li jami' al-khalqi la yakhruju 'anha ahad. لقوله تعالى إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آتي الرحمن عبدا. The first kind of ibadah is the universal kawniyya, universal servitude. We're not going to use here worship. Here ibadah doesn't mean worship. It means from abd, servant. The universal servitude is submitting to the will of Allah, to the universal will of Allah. And this includes all of the creation, the whole creation, the believer and the disbeliever. The evidence is, Allah says, and there's nothing in the heavens and the earth except that they will come to Allah abdan, as slaves. Everything will come to Allah on the Day of Judgment as slaves, the believer and the disbeliever, everything in the creation. فَهِيَ شَامِلَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْكَافِرِ. It encompasses the believer and the disbeliever. وَالْبِرُّ وَالْفَاجِرِ. And the righteous and the wicked. All of these are included in الْعِبَادَةِ الْكَوْنِيَّةِ, the universal servitude. The sun, the moon, the stars, the wind, the oceans, the creation, the animals, the plants, everything must obey Allah. Can the sun act on its own? Can the sun one day say, I don't want to rise? Can the moon decide to go away? Can the animals decide to stop serving a human being? Can a horse, you know, horses say, you know, they come and, you know, have some mutual consultation. They say, no more riding, okay? No more riding, human beings, khalas. This is the last day. Can't do that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them, created them for our service, the children of Adam, so we may use them to provide the service in a sense where we worship Allah. So that's why we have cows and camels and horses and sheep and goats. So we can use them as means to get closer to Allah, either by sacrificing them or by eating in order to be able to worship Allah. And you know, the list goes on. Now this is the first kind of ibadah. Does everyone remember? Al-ibadah al-kawniyya, universal servitude. والثاني عبادة شرعية وهي الخضوع لأمر الله تعالى الشرعي وهذه خاصة بمن أطاع الله تعالى واتبع ما جاءت به الرسل مثل قوله تعالى وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا. The second kind of ibadah is the legal The one that has to do with shari', the law, the revealed legislation upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is submitting to the will of Allah, the legal will of Allah. And it is particular to those who obey Allah and follow what the messengers brought. And who's included in that? The believers only. This is equal to the statement of Allah. And the servants of the most merciful, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the servants of the most merciful, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا, those who walk upon earth with humbleness. They're not arrogant. When they walk upon earth, when they walk between the people, they don't think they're someone very special, regular people, right? They walk with humbleness upon the earth. فالنوع الأول لا يحمد عليه الإنسان لأنه بغير فعله, لكن قد يحمد على ما يحصل منه من شكر عند الرخاء وصبر على البلاء, بخلاف النوع الثاني فإنه يحمد عليه. The first kind, you don't praise someone for that. You don't praise a kafir for that servitude because it is not willingly. He doesn't want to serve Allah, but he has no option. He cannot change the weather, he cannot change the decree, so he has to submit to the universal decree of Allah. Forced, he's forced to do it. It's not something that he's doing willingly. Whereas the other person, he is praised. The Muslim who obeys Allah willingly is praised for his obedience. There's a huge difference between the two, even though we can use the term servitude for both. طيب. And the Shaykh said, وَأَعْظَمُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَهُوَ إِفْرَاضُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ. And the greatest thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded is what? Tawheed, which means to single out Allah in worship. To single out Allah in worship. Single out meaning only. Worship is only due to Him. The Shaykh in explaining that said, التوحيد لغة مصدر وحد يوحد. Linguistically, it is derived from the base word وحد, to unify. يوحد, to unify, to make one. أي جعل الشيء واحدا وهذا لا يتحقق إلا بنفي وإثبات. Meaning to make something one, to unify it in the unity. And that cannot be established unless we have a negation and an affirmation. There must be nafi to negate, then there must be confirming or affirming, both are used. نفي الحكم عما سوى الموحد وإثباته له. فمثلا نقول إنه لا يتم للإنسان التوحيد حتى يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله فينفي الألوهية عما سوى الله تعالى ويثبتها لله وحده. Which means to negate the ruling from any except the one who deserves that unity. For example, we say no human being can truly establish tawheed until he bears witness that there's la ilaha illallah. Now what does that contain? Negation and affirmation. Negation is where? Illallah. Where's the negation? La ilaha. There's no God. Where's the affirmation? Illallah. Except Allah. So first you negate, then you affirm. This is the only way tawheed can be established. Because you find some funny Christians and others who claim that they also believe in God. They believe in Allah. They will say that. But they will fail to worship Him alone. And they will not negate or deny the divinity of their gods. They say, yeah, Father is a God, the Christians. This is very common. They will say, the Christian will say, the Father is a God, no problem. The Son, Jesus, is a God. And the Holy Ghost is a God. And they're not three gods, they're one God. Does that consist of tawheed? No. Does that constitute tawheed? No. Because even though they affirmed the Lordship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Creator, they also accepted divinity. They made divine Jesus and Jibreel, the Holy Ghost. even if they don't consider it to be Jibreel. So we say you're not a muwahhid, right? Because even though you're affirming for Allah, there's no negation. So then tawheed is only established when you negate, you negate divinity from everything and you affirm it to Allah. Because of that, it is incorrect to translate La ilaha illallah as there's no God but Allah. How many times you've seen this? On posters or something like that. La ilaha illallah says there's no God but Allah. Incorrect. Incorrect. Because this negates the Quran. In fact, Allah told us in the Quran that there are many gods. Right or wrong? This is confusing. Don't worry. I'm teaching you tawheed, not shirk. This is just to let us be aware of some subtleties, some little things that we don't pay attention to. Allah in the Quran affirmed the existence of other gods. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Give me an evidence. Any evidence. We have hundreds. Anyone, give me one evidence that Allah affirmed existence of other gods. No, I need a verse. No, this doesn't affirm the existence of other gods. Right? This says, worship Allah alone. Okay, I'll give you an example. The ayah we quoted in the khutbah the other day, Allah told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرًا. The word Allah comes from the word al-ilah. Ilah is that which is worshipped. When you add alif lam, meaning the ilah, the only one who deserves that is Allah. Otherwise, ilah means God. So Allah told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not make with Allah other gods. Do not take up other gods. He called them aliha. He called them aliha, which are gods. But what kind of gods are they? True or false gods? False gods. That's what we need to know. There are gods that are false. To the people, they are gods. Example. We bring a brother over here. And we call him a doctor. No, Dr. Muhammad. Keep calling him Dr. Muhammad for some time. Right? Now, he is not a doctor. He's not a doctor. You follow me? So even though among the people, to them, he's Dr. Muhammad, right? And this is popular. You can tell them, a doctor, man. I know this guy. Say, shh, shh, you don't know this big doctor, big Dr. Muhammad. What are you talking about? So you know, you can go back and forth with the people. You may not be able to convince them that he's not a doctor. So he will receive the title. Honestly, he may print the business card. He'll give you a business card. See? PhD, Dr. Muhammad. Tayyib. He gives you a fake diploma, Dr. Muhammad. He shows you a CV, Dr. Muhammad. But if he's not a doctor, he becomes a false doctor. You tell the people he's not a doctor, say he is a doctor, but he's not a real doctor. He's a fake doctor. You follow me? So the word does not mean that the essence is there. So Allah told us that there are other gods, but in Surah Luqman and in Surah Al-Hajj, these two chapters, there are two verses that are very similar with one variation. Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. And another ayah, وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. This is because Allah is the true God and all the other gods which they call on besides Him are ba'il, false. So that ayah explains ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ, explains that the only true God is Allah Azza wa Jal. The other ones, people take them as gods. People worship them as gods, but in fact, they are false gods. So when you say this, La ilaha illallah means there is no God but Allah, you are negating the Quran, which proves that they are gods. This is why you should translate it according to the meaning and not the wording. The meaning is what? There is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Otherwise, if we don't, the mushrikeen become among the Muslims. Because if you ask the mushrikeen, مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. So if you mean by la ilaha, there is no God but Allah, meaning Allah is the only creator, only sustainer, only provider, then almost the whole world is a Muslim. But are they? No, they're not. Because they did not accept the meaning of there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. That they couldn't do. This is what the shahada means. This is why they were disbelievers, they were fought against, because they did not accept the meaning of the shahada. They knew what it meant. They knew what it meant. So this must be understood in the correct context. So tawheed cannot be established until we negate false gods, we negate divinity to anything that the people worship, and we affirm it to Allah alone. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. That must be understood. Now there are evidences from the Quran which prove this teaching from Ibrahim. He said, إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. I am innocent of that which you worship, except He who created me. Which again, negation. I am innocent from that which you're worshiping, except the one who created me. La ilaha illallah. Many evidences which support that. وفي الاصطلاح عرفه المؤلف بقوله التوحيد هو إفراد الله بالعبادة. Now the common definition given is to single out Allah عز وجل in worship and servitude. أي أن تعبد الله وحده لا تشرك به شيئا. Meaning you worship Allah alone and you associate none in worship with Him. لا تشرك به نبيا مرسلا. You don't worship with Him a prophet who was sent, a messenger. Don't worship the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم or others. ولا ملكا مقربا. Nor an angel who is near to Allah, from the angels of higher status. Because you know the angels are at levels. We have Israfil and Jibreel and Mikael, and these are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the Hamala of the Arsh, the angels that carry the throne of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu wa Taqaddasat Asma'u. These are closer to Allah and greater in status than the other angels, which may have different delegations and different tasks that they must take care of. ولا ملك ولا رئيسا ولا ملكا ولا أحدا من الخلق. And you don't worship besides Allah a president or a king or any one of the creation. بل تفرده وحده بالعبادة محبة وتعظيما ورغبة ورهبة. Rather you single him out alone in worship out of love, out of magnification, out of hope and out of fear. ومراد الشيخ رحمه الله بالتوحيد الذي بعث الرسل لتحقيقه لأنه هو الذي حصل به الإخلال من أقوامهم. This is the tawheed that the Shaykh intended. This is the tawheed that the messengers were sent with, because the problem was always with what? Worshipping Allah alone. They didn't deny the creation, that Allah being the creator, but they denied abandoning their idols and their statues, who they said, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُلْفًا. They said, we don't worship them except so they may make us get closer to Allah. This is their justification. We don't worship them. We're only trying to get closer to Allah. These people were good. This is the shaitanic inspiration. Shaitanic or satanic attitude. I'm not worshipping this dead man in the grave. You don't understand. I know it's Allah who controls everything. They will tell you this. And he will sound sincere. You think he's a big shaykh. I know this is a dead man. What I'm doing is, this is only seeking intercession. He was a righteous man. ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. That's the only ayah they know. But do they know what it means? What does the ayah mean? ألا inna awliya Allah, nay, verily the awliya, the close friends of Allah, la khawfun alayhim, they should be no fear, they should have no fear, walahum yahzanun, nor shall they grieve. Don't fear what is coming in the future, and don't grieve over what passed. This is for them, not for us. This is their status with Allah. Who are they? The next ayah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, those who believe in the oneness of Allah, and they were among those who were muttaqeen. Very often this person that is worshipped besides Allah was neither among the muwahideen nor among the muttaqeen. He may have been known for falsehood. He himself may have been a grave worshipper. Then he dies, then they worship him in his grave. This is not from the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the dead person was a wali, you asking him for something is asking other than Allah. And asking other than Allah is exactly what shirk is. Ibadah, dua, for other than Allah is shirk. And Allah made it haram that we go through any other channels. He gave us a direct channel. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَأَنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَى. If my servants ask you concerning me, then verily I am near. I respond to the dua of the one who makes supplication. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. So let them respond to me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. And let them believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So they may be rightly guided. So we have many ayat which prove this idea that anyone who worships anything along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dead or alive, constitutes major shirk and will take someone out beyond the pales of Islam. Unless they're ignorant, then you know the ulama have a whole other discussion concerning that. وَهُنَاكَ تَعْرِيفٌ عَامٌ لِلْتَوْحِيدِ وَهُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِمَا يَخْتَصُ بِهِ. Another definition for tawheed, which is more general, is to single out Allah in everything that is unique to Him. And this is a very important definition. To single out Allah in everything that is unique to Him. This is actually one of the better definitions. Why? Because this includes tawheed al-rububiyyah. And this includes tawheed al-uluhiyyah. And this includes tawheed al-asma wa sifat. Right or wrong? When we say to single out Allah in everything that is unique to Him, that means that we believe in everything that Allah described Himself with while knowing that it is unique to Allah. What does unique mean? What does unique mean? Come on, we're going to work on our English, we're going to work on our Arabic, and we're going to work on Islam. So nobody has an excuse. Ha, brothers? Unique, an English word. U-N-I-Q-U-E. That's a spelling for you. What does it mean? Different. Different than everything else. That's what it is. When you have something unique, meaning there's nothing like it. This is different than one. Because I have one recorder, and you have one recorder. What's so special? My one and your one, so it's two now. Or both have one, nothing special. But if I had a recorder that no one in the world has, I say this is unique. There's nothing like it. This is one of a kind. There's no second for it. So when we say that Allah is unique, which is the correct way to interpret قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, say it is Allah, not who's one, because one could be two, then three. One who is unique, then you are saying that there's nothing like Allah. When you know that there's nothing like Allah, you don't have a problem believing that Allah has a face. Ha, brothers? Does that sound strange to you? Does Allah have a face? Does anyone negate that? Anyone would like to say no? Nothing mushkila. I'm not gonna be upset with you. We'll explain. Does anyone believe that Allah does not have a face? Everyone in this masjid believes that Allah has a face. MashaAllah. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah. Indeed, He does. But it's unique. So whatever you're thinking, which you shouldn't be doing, you're wrong. Whatever ideas you are developing, you're wrong, because there's nothing like it, you've never seen it. So on what basis are we imagining? We don't have the right to do so. So when we have this understanding, we don't fall into this deviation that many of the Muslims fell into. And we've had some of our brothers close to us, when we told them that Allah has eyes, he panicked. He said, did you say Allah has eyes? We had to, you know, calm him down a little bit, change the subject, right? And we dealt with something else, the hands, right? Trying to make it less easier for him. Because the hands is easier to digest than the eyes. But in fact, we don't have a problem with either one. Yes, Allah has eyes. You have a problem, you're denying the Quran. You think Allah is revealing inaccurate information? Allah telling us about Him something that is incorrect? I don't know. If you believe that, you need to reconsider your Islam. What are you doing in this religion? If you believe the Quran is revelation from Allah, in it is guidance, then you must accept. Because Allah used that. تَجْرِي بِأَعْيُنِنَا Speaking about the Ark of Noah. That it travels under Allah's eyes, Azza wa Jal. But we remember that Allah is unique. So we don't know what they're like. They're definitely not like the eyes of the creation. And the creation includes everything, human beings and otherwise. Because Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ There's nothing like unto Him. The creation is unlike the Creator. Can a recorder manufacture a recorder? Can this machine pull out some hands and make a smaller recorder? This is crazy, man. Who makes a recorder? Human being. Can you and the recorder be the same? Same, you know, qualities? Make it look like you? No way. The manufacturer, huh, is not like the product. He is the manufacturer of the product. Allah is the creator of the creation. How can He be like the creation? If He is like the creation, then He's no longer the creator. Then He's the creation. Logically, it doesn't make sense. Textually, it doesn't make sense what they claim. That Allah Azza wa Jal is like the creation. Also, they become afraid, so they deny. No face, no eyes, no hands, no rising above the throne, no being close to His creation. And the whole deen is cancelled out. Thinking that they are doing something good by raising Allah above imperfection. Thinking that they are freeing Allah from being given human characteristics. They went from one extreme and they fell into the very other extreme. Whereas Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they were on the middle path. They affirmed the qualities of Allah, but they understood that Allah was unique. So we don't have a problem. The way we get to Allah in worship is unlike the creation. In this life, if you wanted to speak to the big boss of the company, you can't, let's say you're the person who's a regular employee, okay? You cannot just walk into his office, huh? And say, hey, I want to talk to you. No, I need more money. You have to go through your manager, right? The one that is right ahead of you. And he goes to the, you know, the whatever manager, the area, the director, somebody bigger in status. You have to go through a chain, right? This person to this person to this person until somebody does it on your behalf. This is the way it is done in the dunya. You cannot go directly to the big shot. You must go through other people who waspa, you know, they get you there. So when people think the same way about Allah, they have fallen into shirk because they're making Allah like the creation. So they say, I cannot go ask Allah directly. I have to go through, you know, Mawlana, Abdul Qadir al-Jilani or otherwise. I have to go through A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So it's the same thing, same mentality. This mentality that is applicable to the creation is in fact making Allah like the creation. It is shirk. If they understood that Allah was unique, then you cannot apply the human ways in the context of worshipping Allah. Because Allah told us this is haram. You go directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this definition is wonderful. Ifradullah subhanahu wa ta'ala bima yakhtassu bih. One of the definitions of tawheed, if you ever have to define it, singling out Allah in that which is unique to Him. And that includes the rububiyyah, the uluhiyyah, and the asma' al-sifat. And the Shaykh will break it down.
وأنواع التوحيد ثلاثة which everyone should know. توحيد is of three categories. الأول توحيد الربوبية which is إفراد الله سبحانه وتعالى بالخلق والملك والتدبير which is to single out Allah as the creator, as the sovereigner and as the disposer of affairs. This you share with the Christians, this you share with the Jews, this you may share with some Hindus, this you share with some Buddhists, and this you may share with many people upon earth who don't follow Islam but will affirm that there's a creator. They call him X, they call him Y, they call him something else, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. To them, they believe in a greater power that created, that sustains, that arranges the affairs. And they call it different names. To some, it's a cow. To others, it's a monkey, especially among the Hindus, strangest people on earth. I saw somebody send me an email, you know, of some Hindus, you know. they get, you know, this pot of water, right? Like, you know, the one you use for kapsa, the big one for cooking a large amount of food. They fill it up with water and they sit in it seeking istisqa. This is their way of istisqa. So a big old man is squeezed into a small pot. You know, he's barely sitting in there. He's got water up to his neck. He's wearing some flowers and everything and some weird funny stuff. And they have, you know, four or five of them. And they said this is the way they do istisqa, seeking rain. You know, doing some shirk. I don't know what they're, who they're worshipping. Which cow, you know, that was walking down the street, or which monkey that they saw last week, hoping that the rain will come to them. And you know, the person who sent the email, you know, he had a comment, says, Alhamdulillah for intellect. Alhamdulillah that gave us a brain. Because when you look at these people, you say, I mean, what happens to someone to, you know, to go to this extreme? Right? So Allah blessed us with the brain, right? But you know what we do with the brain? Many of us, we use it to oppose the sunnah. We get the brain, which is a ni'mah from Allah, as opposed to the disbelievers, instead of using it to understand the deen, we use it to negate the deen. You find some funny people like that. They learn knowledge, so they may refute the truth. So when you give them something, say, yeah, but one alim said this is ma'lish. This is his knowledge. Fatawa. Fatwa shopping. Some alim somewhere in the world, you know, mufti such and such, said it's halal for me to do something that everybody knows is haram. You know? So they use their brain not to understand the deen, wal'iyadu billah, but to negate the teachings of the deen, thinking that they're going to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we shouldn't trick ourselves, you know? We keep it real. This is the deen of Allah. It's about obedience, Quran and the Sunnah, according to the understanding of the righteous predecessors. Khalas. So simple, ya akhi. It's the simplest equation in the world. But we seem to make it complicated and add and delete. We have our own way, we have our own special. No, this is how we do da'wah. Why? Why these fabrications? Why these innovations? Stick to the Quran and the Sunnah and go straight to Jannah. That's what it is. The Quran and the Sunnah will take you straight to Jannah. If you were to implement them, if that brain that Allah gave you, we use it to understand the deen. Right? Not to be funny, every time we are presented with an evidence, we just know how to answer in a smart way. So you will not receive advice or nasiha anymore. So this is not befitting brothers in Islam. Before we conclude, the evidence is that Allah is the Rabb, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay'in. Allah is the creator of everything. هل من خالق غير الله يرزقكم من السماء والأرض لا إله إلا هو. Is there any creator other than Allah that provides you from the heavens and the earth? None is worthy of worship but He. قال تعالى تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. سورة الملك. Blessed is He who in His hand is the sovereignty and He is able to do all things. وقال تعالى ألا له الخلق والأمر تبارك الله رب العالمين. Nay, to Allah belongs the creation and the command. And blessed is Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Now this ayah, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Who knows which alim used this to prove that the Quran is the speech of Allah and not the creation? Huh? Abdul Basit, are you with us? The ayah, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. To Allah belongs the command, the creation. recommend? How did the scholars use this ayah to prove that the Quran is the speech of Allah and not the creation of Allah? It's not only you. I'm just trying to focus on you. Anyone can answer. This is technical. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, was tortured because of this. He was tortured until, you know, his skin, the skin on his back was falling off, until he fainted because he refused to believe or to claim, even outwardly, even if, because he's forced, that the Quran is the creation of Allah, which is the belief of some of the misguided Muslims, which constitutes a form of kufr at the end of the day. They say that the Quran is the creation. But we Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah believe that the Quran is the speech of Allah. Allah spoke the Quran. It's the words of Allah. Kalamullah, right or wrong, the speech of Allah. Allah and His attributes are not created. So the Quran is not created. How was this ayah used? I give up already. Ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. To Allah belongs the creation and the command. The waw makes a distinction between the creation and the command. The Quran is from the command of Allah. Min amrillah. The command of Allah of doing what is intended, good, and leaving what is bad, is from the amr. And Allah made a distinction between the creation and the amr, so they're not the same. You follow me? If the Quran was from the creation of Allah, then it would be only ala lahu al-khalq. But Allah says, wal-amr, and something different than khalq, al-amr, the command. The Quran is the command of Allah, it does not fall under al-khalq, meaning it is not created. This is one of the ways that the ulama use this particular ayah to refute those who claim that the Quran is a creation. It's a creation, but we don't believe that. Quran is kalamullah. In the Quran, hatta yasma'a kalamullah. Allah says, if one of the mushrikeen seeks protection from you, provide him with protection so he may hear kalamullah. So he may hear the speech of Allah. Allah called it in the Quran, the speech of Allah. The speech of Allah follows the speaker, Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah is the creator, and He's not created, so His speech is not created either. Right? It follows the attribute. So with that, we will conclude inshaAllah ta'ala. It's supposed to be longer than that, but I actually have some obligations because of some personal things. So inshaAllah ta'ala, next week, if we all remain alive, we will continue with Tawheed al-Uluhiyya and Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. Then we will go on to Shirk and everything that is related to Shirk bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.